talents are not the same as spiritual gifts. Talents are given by God to all humanity. Whether you are a believer or not, you have been given a particular talent. And that talent that God gives to you, you can use it to make a living. You can use it to excel. You can use it to improve the society. That's a talent. It is basically for human, material, body and soul purposes. But the spiritual gift is, by its name, spiritual in nature. And they must not be confused. Sometimes it may be the same. It is not a Christianizing of talents. It is separate. For example, a person may be a very capable and very good teacher in school, teaching, say, any subject very well, may have won even certain awards, may be regarded as one of the best, if not the best teacher in that school, because this teacher is able to make a subject like maths or some science subjects very exciting, because the demeanor, the disposition of the teacher is excellent. He knows the skill of delivery very well. He may have a very nice voice that captures the attention of the students. And then this person becomes a Christian. And so this person thinks that he must also have the spiritual gift of teaching, because he is pretty good in what he is doing in the world. And so he says, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Now, a Sunday school teacher is a very unique and specialized ministry. We are talking about teaching children, and the younger they are, the harder to teach, because obviously the children do not have a wide range of vocabulary. And so now you have to teach doctrines that in themselves are pretty difficult. And so now you have to understand the doctrine very well, and then you have to simplify it using very basic, simple words, string them together so that these young children can understand the doctrine. That is very difficult to do. Now, we're not talking about the delivery. You see, in the spiritual gift of teaching, there are basically two parts. One is the content, and the other one is the delivery. The delivery, the person may be excellent, because the delivery part, you can learn it. You can use your tone of your voice. You can use all the correct PowerPoint slides. You can learn all these things. But as far as the content is concerned, that is a spiritual gift that God has to give to you. Not everyone can simplify a hard doctrine, hold the attention of young children, and make them understand a truth. So that person may have an award in teaching outside in the world, but he may not have the spiritual gift of teaching. He may have the art of delivery, but that's not the same as making a hard doctrine simple to understand for these young children, that at the end of it, they know God better. Because that's what a spiritual gift is meant to do. Help a person become a better believer. Draw the person closer to the Lord Jesus Christ through your ministry. Now, that's a spiritual gift. Now, God has saved us, and God knows that all of us who are born again can enter heaven immediately upon salvation. But He has left us behind to do two things. One is to witness to sinners, to let them know that God loves them, and God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them so that they do not have to be in bondage to sin. Because when sin is your master, the wages of sin is death. You do not want to die in your sin. You must get out of this master-slave relationship with sin, and only Jesus Christ can help you get out of it. And that means every Christian, every child of God, you are given the key to the kingdom of heaven, and that key is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. And everywhere you go, you must give this key, the gospel, to sinners, at home, at work, in school. Now, it's easy to give this key. But when you give this key, evidenced by a life that has been transformed by the same gospel that you are sharing, that person is not only receiving the key, but that person is witnessing the power of that gospel by the way that you live. Now, that's what you and I are asked to do by God, commanded by God to do in the Great Commission to a world that is dying in sin. And God says, I've given you the mind of Christ upon salvation. I've given you the Holy Spirit at the same time of salvation. But not only did I give you the Spirit of God, but I have also given you spiritual gift at the point of your salvation. Just like when a person is born with a talent, it is given to him at birth. And as he grows older and older, he develops this talent. I do not know what talents you have, but I think I have the talent to draw. Because that's what I did when I was a young boy. Nobody taught me how to draw. I did not go to any school. I had no teacher teaching me. The moment I was old enough as a young boy to hold a pen, a pencil, whatever I hold a pen or a pencil and there's a paper there, I will start drawing. Whatever I see, I try to draw. I thought everybody can do that. Until one day, I saw my brother drawing. Then I said, hey, what is that? The same thing. I said, it's not the same. It's very different. No, it looks the same. No, it's not the same. You look. The object is there. And this is what you drew. You compare, you put side by side. They're not the same. He thought it was the same. He's very good in maths. He's an accountant. That is his talent. He loves numbers. I love drawing. I love to draw. And so as you improve, I went to architecture. The teachers would teach me how to draw better because all my life, nobody taught me. I just did it on my own until architecture. Then I learned how to use the pencil. I learned how to use the pen. I learned how to shade. I learned the shadow. I learned a lot of things. And then when I went to work, my boss taught me even further. So you have the talent, and then you can improve by being trained, by exercising it, by practicing it. Same with the spiritual gifts. Every time you are born again, everyone, you are given the gift. Now you need to use it, improve on it, get people to teach you so that you can become better at it. We all must realize that God has equipped us with more than we need to succeed. This spiritual gift primarily is not only to help us reach out to sinners by living a holy life, but it is primarily given to us to help other brothers and sisters in Christ, because not everyone can live a holy life in a way that is pleasing to God, because the world is a battleground. The world with the devil as God will continue to deceive and destroy our witness. He cannot take away our salvation. Please remember this. If you're truly born again in Christ, no one can take away your salvation. But what the evil one will try to do is to rob you and me of our holy witness. That he can do, and he will continue to do. And he will seduce us with the things of the world. He will threaten us with hurt and pain and loss if you do not comply and do what he wants you to do by disobeying the word of God and obeying him. And therefore, there will be people who are struggling, children of God who will become casualties, wounded out in the world. And so they come back to church. When they come back to church, if we are all not given spiritual gifts, we can't help one another. But thank God, God gave us spiritual gifts. When did that happen? The moment you are born again in Christ. That's what verse 1 to verse 3 tells us. Before we were born again, what were we like? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to know, because I want your life to be a blessing to other believers. I want your life to help others become better Christians, to help them grow spiritually, because they cannot grow without you. You have to use your spiritual gifts. And so he says, you know that you were Gentiles, describing when we were not born again in the past before salvation. What were we like? Carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were, led, past tense. Not anymore. So he was reminding us, before salvation, you were not given any spiritual gifts because you were not a spiritual person. You were not born again in Christ. What you had were only talents. Talents that were good enough for you to live on earth, whereby you serve idols, controlled by idols. Now, these idols are more than just objects. It could be money. It could be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The intangible idols are more deadly and dangerous than the tangible. You know how hard it was for God to take Israel out of Egypt? The 10 plagues, the Red Sea miracles. So many Egyptians were punished. So many died. The firstborn sons died before they were permitted to leave Egypt. You know how hard it was for God to take Egypt out of Israel? 40 years of wilderness wandering. 603,000 of them died in the wilderness. Because whenever they had no water, no food, even though they had manna, they murmured and complained, if only I were back in Egypt. At least I can die with my stomach full. They were thinking of the onions and the leeks and all the good food in Egypt, even though they were slaves. They have forgotten their spiritual responsibility. Were they surrounded by idols? No. Egypt, they already left Egypt. But Egypt was in them. The idols were in them. It's one thing to take out the idols that are made of stone and wood and gold and silver. But there are the dangerous idols of our time. Money, power, possessions. All these have compelled so many people to walk in the direction of greed. So many pastors and leaders have used Christianity to turn it into making money. These are the ones that Jesus Christ drove out of the temple. You have turned my temple into a den of thieves. And that's what many churches have become. When all pastors see in the congregation are sheep for the slaughter, instead of nurturing them, protecting them, and watching over them. We were like that as Gentiles, unbelievers. But now that we are children of God, born again, wherefore I give you to understand, I have already made known unto you that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse. They will never, never shame the name of Christ. They will never deliberately shame the name of Christ. They will want to honor and protect Christ. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And this word say is not the usual word simply utter. This word say literally is used in the past tense. In the past tense, whereby the person had already experienced what it means to call Jesus Christ Lord. So it is not just saying that He's my Lord, as what you see in many churches today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's not the verbal sound of saying the Lord. It is an experiential past experience whereby the Lord, Jesus Christ, controls your life. That means the Word of God is the Word that orders your life. And you have tasted it, you have experienced it, and the Bible says this was by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 4, which is another passage that talks about spiritual gifts, but that passage has a different emphasis, where the Apostle Paul highlighted only the teaching gifts, not as complete, as exhaustive as 1 Corinthians 12, where other gifts are mentioned. Because in Ephesians 4, it has a different purpose. And the Lord says in Ephesians 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us, led captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men. And that's how we know That it's at the point of salvation when the Spirit of God dwells in us, where the Spirit of God enables us to call Jesus Christ my Lord. When did that happen? At the point of salvation. You have already experienced this in your life. Past tense. You say it because I have a past experience of Jesus Christ being my Lord at the point of my salvation. When I accepted Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sin, I acknowledge him as my Lord and as my Savior. At that point in time, we have all been given spiritual gifts. No exception. Some may get one, some may get two, others may have a little bit more, but all of us have at least one. You have to be born again. If you are not born again, you don't have one. Because it is a spiritual gift, you are not a spiritual person. So that means you and I must understand you have no legitimate excuse not to serve in church and be a blessing to other Christians. Unless you're not born again. Because if you say that, well, I don't have a spiritual gift, I don't know what my gifts are. If you say you don't have a spiritual gift, that means you're not born again. Please understand it, because God is not a derelict heavenly father. When he says that when you are born again, you have a spiritual gift, means you have one. Unless he missed you out. Do you think God will miss you out? Suddenly, when God was giving spiritual gift, he skipped somebody and you are the one? You think God will ever let that happen? Never. So please don't hide behind, well, I don't have. You have. Now the question is, are you using it? Find out what that is. You have to know what the spiritual gift is, because God says it will be for the profit of others. You find that in verse 7. You see? Given to every man, every believer, to profit withal, profit others. So how will you know what your spiritual gifts is? Others who are blessed by your ministry will tell you. They will tell you, because your ministry will bring blessing to others. They will tell you. Now let's see. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, many different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many different kinds of administration, but the same Lord. Now the word differences and diversities, same word. Okay, same word. So diversities, differences, they are the same. Same in verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So the first thing we have to bear in mind concerning gifts is this. You notice that in these three verses, God the Spirit is mentioned. The Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned, the second person of the Godhead in verse 5. And God the Father is mentioned in verse 6. In other words, God tells us that there may be many different types of gifts, but it all came from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That means, don't be envious, don't quarrel, don't compete with one another. You cannot say, well, I got my gift from the God the Father, you got it from God the Son, you got it from God the Holy Spirit. Every one of us, God, the spiritual gifts, we obtain it from a Trinity, a Trinitarian God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who gave each and every one of us together. They were not fighting, they were not disunited, they were all united, even though the Spirit may be the one who will be mentioned after this. But please remember, God wants you and me to know that there is no fighting, there is no disunity. The gifts all came from the three persons of the Godhead. They were united. They were not fighting or quarreling. So please do not fight or quarrel or be jealous or compete with one another in the use of the gift. It is meant for what purpose then? It is meant for the profit of others. That's what it says. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation of the Spirit of God who dwells in you, to make it plain and clear that you have the gift. How? For the blessing of others. So help others become better Christians. Because remember, many of them will come back from the world wounded. When they go to school, when they go to work Monday to Saturday, they are facing the enemy. they are in enemy's territory because the God of this world out there has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in the gospel. It's a spiritual battle out there. They persecuted and crucified Christ. The more you live like Christ, what do you think they will do to you? They'll do the same. Just as what they did to Christ, they're going to do to you. And so there will be some who will become casualties. They come into the church. Who is the head? Christ is the head. Because in the church, the word of God is the rule book. Out in the world, the God of this world with his laws. His law is everyone just do what is right in your own eyes. In the church, no one is permitted to do whatever is right in his own eyes. Everyone must do what is right in the eyes of God according to the Bible. And so in the church, it is like a piece of heaven that is brought down onto this earth where brothers and sisters in Christ will come back, where we are not to hurt one another, where we are to help one another with the spiritual gift that God has given to us to help each other grow. It could be administration. It could be giving. It could be the word of God, teaching. Whatever it is, all of us must do our part. Use our gifts. Some of us may be given the same kinds of gifts, and some of us with the same kind of gifts, some may be better than others, but we must all encourage one another. Have you read some of Spurgeon's sermons? They are excellent. There are very few people who could preach like Spurgeon. I do not know how he preached because there was no tape recorder of the manner in which he preached. But we have his sermons in writing. I read quite a number of them and I enjoyed every one of them. He can preach the gospel in such an amazing manner using the appropriate illustrations that can turn a doctrine into something that is simple to grasp and understand because of the appropriate illustrations. Not many people can do that. He is very rare. Others may have the gift of preaching, but very few can have the kind of skill like Spurgeon. Same for teaching, same for giving, same for other spiritual gifts like administration. Because there will be the young ones, and then there will be the mature ones. And therefore, we need to help one another. For example, when you play the piano, you may have the spiritual gifts of music and you can play. But you may be a babe in Christ at the moment when you are playing. There are some who are more mature. Learn from those who are mature. Because the people who are blessed by you will be able to recognize whether you have the gift. We're not talking about the technique. Please, nothing to do with the technique of playing. Technique you can learn. Technique you can practice again and again and again and again, and you may even master your technique. A person who can have the spiritual gift of music, he will play or she will play in a manner whereby the person becomes invisible. The person, when the person plays, he will help us to sing the hymns in a manner that is the right tempo, that will help us sing from our heart and help us focus on Christ. There are some who will play that is very jarring because of lack of practice for whatever reason. When they play, it becomes a distraction. When we can't hear our own sound, we can't hear our own voices. There was a time during one of the Sunset Gospel Hour message, I remember. It was the closing hymn. The pianist was banging so loudly. The organist was competing with the pianist, see who was louder. And I couldn't even hear myself sing. I couldn't hear the congregation sing, even though there were a few hundreds of people. And so immediately I said, let's sing the remaining few verses of the hymn in a cappella. No more music. What do you think happens after that? I wrote them an email. Both of you, don't you ever play like that again. This is not a competition. You are here to help us, assist us in worship. We can sing without music. But the music is to help us sing correctly and as one and in tune. That's all. But if you play like that again, please step down. Don't minister like that. And then one of them explained to me in an email all the technical terms. Oh, this is this, this is that, this is this. And I said, I don't know music. I do not know what you are saying. But one thing I do know, the manner in which both of you play, it was self-glorifying. You were drawing attention to yourself and both of you were competing with one another. Thank God both of them have stopped playing. They refuse to change. They stop. Everyone serving in the church with spiritual gift has only one person to promote, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you use your gift, you must help me draw closer to Christ. Profit with all. What kind of profit? What do I want from the church? I want to be a better Christian so that when I go back into the world, I will be a better witness for Christ. So that when I go back home, I will be a better witness for Christ. That's what I want from the church, to equip me and to help me be more Christ-like. And so these spiritual gifts, when they are used properly and correctly, will avail me that wonderful privilege. And that's why we come to church, to worship and to be better witnesses for Christ, to praise the Lord and to be better witnesses for Christ. And I cannot do it alone. That's why God gave us spiritual gifts to profit others. So when I use my gift and you are profited, I am a co-laborer with God. God is helping me. The Spirit of God is helping me to help you. But when you are using your gift and I am the recipient, then I become the building to be built up and to become a better believer. So we build each other's faith. We help one another. That's what it means by profit with all. Now, of course, the profit with all will vary from person to person. Some of us who have the same gift will be able to help others with the same gift, be able to recognize others with the same gift as you have. Do you know how to evaluate what is a good preacher, what is a good teacher? Do you know how? Now, if you are not given the gift of preaching and teaching, you're just simply the recipient. So for you, you may say that, well, this person can give because I learned at least one lesson. That's it. Fine. Just like I cannot evaluate the piano playing and the organ playing compared to a musician, a good musician who knows how to play this instrument. But preaching and teaching, to me, the best preacher and teacher is someone, after preaching and teaching, not just to help me fix my life. That to me is secondary, not the primary. The primary is, help me know the Bible better. That at the end of your preaching, your teaching, whether it is 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour, doesn't matter. That when you finish, I know the passage better after you are done. Because to know the Word of God better means I've now known God better. And not only that, to know God better, but to create in me a thirst and a desire to study God's Word more. Because you have made the Word of God come alive and it is exciting. And therefore, you have helped me to have a thirst and a hunger to study God's Word because you have made the Book of Life truly living. And we were in America. There was one lecturer in America when we were in seminary who was able to do that, Dr. John Wickham. And that's why I love to attend his classes. Because at the end of every class, not only did he teach us the Word of God, but at the end of the class, he makes you want to love God and love God's Word more. He makes you want to study God's Word. That, to me, is a very good teacher. Not just to help me fix my life, change my life, improve my relationship with my wife and my children, but the reasons why I change, the reasons why I love my wife more, the reasons why I should be a better parent to my children. The reasons must be Christ. The reason must be Bible-based. So that this transformation is lifelong. It is a conviction. It will last a lifetime. Because if I just simply love my wife more because my pastor says so, then what happens when if a new pastor, this pastor retires, so now the new pastor, he doesn't say so, I stop. So it's not just a change life, but the reason behind the change has to be Christ. It has to be Bible-based. And that means it becomes a conviction, whether I am in Singapore or outside of Singapore, does not matter. I will still do what is right because this is a conviction in my heart. That's what a spiritual gift will avail a Christian to become. Help us love the Lord Jesus Christ, convicted, and be truly who we are, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's what the world needs to see when we are out there. And that's what the church must help me to become, more and more like Christ. And that's why we try to ensure that all ministries, from the youngest to the most mature, to the oldest in age, it must be Christ-centered, where the correct leaders with the right spiritual gifts are placed in the right ministries. There are some who love to minister to people who are elderly. Because you see, the old folks and children, young children, are very similar, right? Very similar. Because as you grow older and older, your attention span is not there. You're like children, right? Attention span of children are very young. Both of you have very little hair. Both of you have very little teeth, right? Both of you need help in feeding, correct? But one is less cute, one is not so cute, one is not so cute, correct? But you need people of the different disposition to help them. There are some people who love to be around old people, the elderly. They love them. They have the patience to look after them and care for them. But if you ask them to look after the same babies, children, they don't have the patience. They just can't. Somehow, they find children, when their children run around and behave like this, they cannot take it. But with old folks, they love it. And then the other way is also true. There are some who will love children. Whenever their day is down, the moment they see children, wow, the whole day is lit up. They love to look after all these children, run here, run there. Whenever they see all these children, so cute, so cute, so cute, so wonderful. It brightens their day. But when you ask them to go and look after the old folks, cannot. Somehow. Right? How come? Different spiritual gifts. That's the way God has made us. We all have gifts. You have to discover it because you must be a blessing to others. That's why you have been saved and left behind on earth. That's why do not stay away. Do not stay away from fellowships. Do not stay away from service. Make sure your life is one of service to profit with all so that others may be blessed and be encouraged. There is no ministry that is not important. Every ministry is important because from chapter 12, verse 12 onwards, Paul will use the human body to tell us how every ministry, every spiritual gift is important because the human body, Christ is the head. We are all the different parts of the body. The hand cannot say, I don't need the feet. The mouth cannot say, I don't need the ear. The eye cannot say, I don't need the nose. Everyone has a different purpose and function in order for the whole body to function properly as a whole. Same for spiritual gifts. So do not think that, well, because I'm not in the limelight speaking from the pulpit, I'm not important. No, we all have our own role. All of us have different spiritual gifts. We are not here to promote self. We are here to promote Christ. All of us. In order to be an usher, to be a good usher, what kind of personality? You need to have a smiling face. If you don't have a smiling face, if you don't have a gregarious kind of a personality where you welcome people warmly, sincerely, it's very hard to be an usher, right? People come, wow, happy, happy. They see your face, the happiness goes. Because your face is sumboy. Right? I come so happy. The moment I see your face, you don't shake my hand. I look at you only. Oh, yeah, I come in. I want to be happy. I look at your face only. I become very sad. So, even ushers, you have a special calling, disposition. Your whole demeanor, your face, everything, all part of it. And if you have a very gregarious kind of a personality, smiling and cheerful and welcoming, and you have a brain that can remember names, you meet the person, once you remember everything the person tells you, you are tremendous. You are very good as an usher because the people will love you. They see you, they are down, they are sad. But the moment they see you, they are happy and brighten up. Because I only mentioned my name once to you last month and now you still remember me. They feel so at home and so welcome. It's a gift. You do it for the Lord. Same for those who do with the mic and everything. It's not just a technical skill. If they mess up the mic, our whole worship is ruined. Our whole worship is ruined. So we need people who are spiritual, who continue to pray and lean upon the Spirit of God to do this as well. Every part of it, every part has to be a spiritual exercise, because you are a spiritual person. The moment you are born again in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you, and God has blessed you with a spiritual gift or gifts so that your life will bless and profit others. Your life will not be wasted. Please come and serve. Find out what your gifts is or gifts are and use it. Sure, there will be times when you're going to be hurt. There will be times when others will hurt you. That's part of what it means to forgive in Christ, to do it with the right motive. Chapter 13, love of Christ. Love of Christ must be the motive. But I want certain gifts. You cannot demand certain gifts. Gift, the nature of gift. Gift means what? Gift means what? You cannot demand, God, don't give me this gift. I don't want that. I want that. That's not called gift. Gift means whatever the giver gives, you just accept. Right? That's the nature of gift. You cannot say, take back, I don't want. You give me, keep on giving me until I want. You cannot do that with God. That's why you find in the last few verses, from verse 8 to verse 11, for to one is given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues means the word of God in different languages. There are some people who are very gifted in languages. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That means they are also very good in interpretation. You know how difficult it is to interpret sometimes. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. That means everyone may be given different gifts, but all of them have only one person to promote, and that is Christ, because it is given by the Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you have been coming for the past few weeks, God sent the Son to glorify God the Father. God the Son sent the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ. And so the Spirit of God is the one who helps us to use our gifts to whose promotion? Christ. To glorify Christ, because that's the Holy Spirit's ministry, to glorify Christ. So all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to what? Every man severally, some may get one, some may get two, whose decision? As he will. Okay? He distributes, he decides. That's the meaning of the word will. He decides alone. You cannot demand. You cannot force. You cannot say, Lord, if you do not give me the gift of preaching because I love the limelight, I love to have the gift of preaching. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to fast until I die. God will say to you, you better prepare your coffin. You better tell the pastor your order of service, because you're going to be buried. You don't blackmail God. God made it very plain and clear. The Spirit of God decides. That's it. Because if God does not make this clear to us, there will be no end of jealousy and envy. Imagine if God were to say, all right, I'll let you choose. What do you think you're going to choose? What will you choose? We're going to choose based upon our terrible, terrible heart, our terrible desires. We only want gifts that will promote us into the limelight, thrust us into the limelight. Is that what you want? Or you want something that is very, very innocuous. Nobody notices you. God says, I decide, not you. God never, never asks man for any contribution when it comes to all things spiritual. Did God ask Israel how to be a nation to witness for Christ? No. Not even Moses or Joshua sat down with God on a kind of a table where they bargain and discuss what Israel ought to look like, how Israel ought to dress, what kind of food Israel ought to eat, what are the holy days. Joshua, Moses, can you please contribute? No. God decided how you eat, how you dress, how you farm, how you spend your day, how you spend your week, how you spend your holy days, how you spend everything, because you are to reflect Christ. I know what Christ looked like. I know who Christ is. You don't. I know, God says. So therefore, I will dictate everything about Israel, how you ought to live as a nation to tell the world and carry in your testimony the image of Christ. And so now when it comes to the church witness, you think God will change and now ask us, Gentiles, ones who were not God's people, now we are called God's people? Let us choose. You and I will choose based upon our problematic heart. God says, I will decide. So there'll be no jealousy, no envy. You can't pray for it. You can't ask for it. I will decide. Now, I know that at the end of this chapter, the Bible did say, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent. So can decide, can it? You as an individual cannot decide, but as a church, you can pray and covet for special gifts, because sometimes the church may not have a pastor. So what should you do? You pray and ask God, Lord, please send us a pastor. Now that's what the last part of chapter 12 means. You don't have a pianist. You don't have an organist. So you can pray for God to send a Christian who has the spiritual gift of playing the piano, playing the organ, or whatever ministry that you are lack of. You need more Sunday school teachers. You need people to look after the fellowships. By all means, pray for these individuals to come into your midst. That's what chapter 12 means. But as an individual Christian, what spiritual gifts? The Bible made it clear, as He will. The Holy Spirit decides. Now remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are one. So the Holy Spirit decide means God the Father, God the Son also will decide the same thing. There is no disunity or conflict within the headship, the Godhead. That means you and I need to recognize our gift. And when you use it, there's nothing to be proud of or be arrogant about. If your gift helps others to become better Christians, you'll be humble and you'll be thankful. It's a gift. It's nothing to do with you. You did not earn it. You did not work for it. And when you use the gift, it's the Spirit of God who is helping you, leading you, guiding you, and use you to be a blessing to someone. And if your life is truly a blessing to someone, remain thankful, remain humble, and give God all the glory because it is a gift. God decides to give you whatever gift. Our duty and responsibility is to use it, study hard, exercise it, and improve on it, and become better and better so that your blessing upon others can increase. That's what we are to do. That's what the Spirit of God has done in your life and in my life, whether you are aware of it or not. He gives spiritual gifts. At the point of our salvation, all believers have been given one or two or more. And it is for the profit of others, to help others become better believers. Because when we witness for Christ out in the world, we get hurt, we get attacked, we begin to doubt, we become casualty, we struggle with sin, with all kinds of questions. And so when we come back into the church, we find a place of home. We find brothers and sisters in Christ who can use their spiritual gifts to help me, just as I use my spiritual gifts to help them in turn. Now that is what the church is all about. It is a home that is away from home in heaven, because a church must have Christ as the head, which means the Bible must be the only rule book to guide every ministry, so that when people come, they hear the voice of Christ, because the Word of God is taught, is obeyed, is lived out. And all ministries are managed according to the Word of God. And we need every member to exercise their spiritual gift so that your life will truly bless the lives of brothers and sisters in Christ, to help them grow and become more and more Christ-like. For how long? As long as the Lord gives you life, gives you breath. Sure, there are times when, because of old age, we can't use that gift the way that we have been using. Then we have to retire and serve God in a diminished capacity in another area. But that is less strenuous on the body. Fine, but you never stop serving. You can continue and must continue to serve until the Lord says, time to come home. But what about when I'm languishing in the hospital bed?
As long as you can still speak, you can still encourage. You can share with people what your gifts have been, what you have been doing, the mistakes you have made, the blessings you have learned. You share with them, because these people may have the same gift as you have, and you can help them make fewer mistakes and help them also encourage them to continue to exercise and become better, to help God's people to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how wonderful it is to be able to have that kind of privilege where this life can impact the lives of others that will last for eternity. For before salvation, when we follow dumb idols, our lives was only good for the things of this earth that will perish. But in Christ, with the spiritual gifts given to us, you can be such a great blessing to sinners, help them out of sin and hell into heaven in Christ. To brothers and sisters in Christ, you can help others to become more and more Christ-like, to be like God, the second person of the Godhead, by what you do, by what you say. Would you do it? Because your life is precious to us and to God. Live it well for Christ. Every moment, not a blessing, is a wasted moment for eternity. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we, O Lord, we thank Thee for this life that we have in Christ, and a life that is so abundant and full on earth. For in the world, we can witness to sinners and point them to the Savior. And sometimes we may be persecuted, sometimes we may have to suffer for Christ, but teach us to rejoice, for Thou hast counted us worthy to suffer for Jesus' sake. And when we are with God's people in God's house, in the many ministries that You have blessed us with, make us a blessing. Help us to use the spiritual gifts that You have bestowed upon every child of Yours, that this life that once upon a time served sin can now serve the one living and true God and be a blessing to others, to impact fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to help them to become better children of God and be stronger holy witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ at home, in school, at work, wherever we are, so that together, as one united, beloved body of Christ, we can all help one another on our way to heaven, where together at the end of our lives, and we all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us may be able to say, may be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, and welcome home, my good and faithful servant," and to know that we have a part in helping others remain faithful. Oh Lord, what a wonderful life that You have given to us. Encourage us, help us never to be weary in well-doing, but to continue to serve Thee with joy and with gladness, knowing that the Spirit of God who has given to us the spiritual gift or gifts is also the Spirit of God who will continue to strengthen us, lead us, guide us, and help us to use these gifts for the blessing of others and to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. For this we ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.